This is Talking Business. Joining me now is Natasha Norton, who's the CEO of Accutech in Melbourne. G'day, Natasha.
Hi, Alan.
Now, firstly, Accutech, it's a consultancy, but and we'll get on to what it does in a moment, but you it was founded by Carolyn Patton.
That's correct.
And you joined her, what, 2010?
2010, August, to
and,
be exact.
And some time after that, she kind of stepped back. And you took over. Tell us about the firm itself and tell us about Caroline.
So I had had the good fortune to run into Caroline, well, over a decade ago now in our professional circles and always knew that she owned Accutech. And I think from the get-go she was trying to convince me to come and work for her and I repeatedly said no.
Why'd you say no?
Because I was quite enjoying freelancing. I was a freelance consultant, enjoying myself, working for the Big Four at the time, roaming around, but eventually I acquiesced and said, look, I'd love to give this a go. And she'd actually wanted me to come in and be CEO straight away. She was ready to step away from her company. And I actually said, no, I don't want to be CEO. Let me come in and learn a little bit about the company first and what you're doing. So we
she obviously thought
way.
A lot of you.
Yeah, I think
from
we,
the start.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just one of those symbiotic relationships. We're really fortunate to really gel the first time we met each other and very like-minded in the terms of, in the way that we approach our work and our business and our team, but also very complementary skill sets too. And I think she's a true entrepreneur, really, really wants to get out there and start something, whereas I'm more of a strategist who comes in and builds something for someone when they've got the idea.
Right. So what as I understand it, the business began as a testing business for quality assurance. That's what Caroline began.
That's correct.
And it's transitioned to being a broader consulting business.
Absolutely.
Did you do that transition?
Yes. Yeah, I was responsible for that. I think the first time I met with the Accutech board, I said, if you stay a software testing company, you won't be here and I won't be here in 5 years' time.
Why is that?
It simply wasn't an industry that I believed had a lot of longevity onshore in Australia. Any of those people who've worked in the QA industry in the large corporations knows that there was a massive offshoring of that skill set in the 90s, 2000s and so forth. And that has continued today. So what we said, we looked at about the business and what we thought we should be doing in the technology space and where we should be broadening our service offering and simply looked at what was a nice add-on to what we were doing, a natural add-on as opposed to trying to overreach. And so our skill sets and our services built from that. So we became a full end-to-end technology.
So what was the first thing you added on?
It was simply business analysis and project management. That's all it was. So things that we were already sort of doing in our team and thought, well, we're not going to be pretending to be something we're not by adding these things to our catalogue of services. And that was very successful. So continually my strategy has been to look at what we should be offering in the market to broaden our service offering, but also to diversify our service offering so that we've got sustainability ongoing.
Did you have to change the way you charged?
Yeah. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Because you can't really... Testing has been known for its body shopping industry as well. So backsides on seats and in vast numbers, a highly scalable industry. So we had to look at ourselves as a consultancy. We were going to offer professional advice and professional strategic services.
By testing, we're talking about just testing software.
Correct.
For bugs.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. I think the advent of Y2K made it an industry unto itself.
And so whereas that was done here for a while, it's shifted to
absolutely
India, Bangladesh, Philippines.
Correct. And Eastern Europe as well.
Eastern Europe now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess when you're a project manager, you're charging by the hour. It's a much more project-based
absolutely
charging model,
yeah.
I guess.
So, yeah, the charging mechanism certainly changed. But it was also looking at what the competency was of our team members and wanting to build their skill sets. So we became what we call strategic advisors. So our priority became not around software testing, but how we made other businesses better at what they do. So it became problem solvers, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. So how does, where an organisation has an awareness that they have an issue or require a solution, how do we help them get from A to be as effectively as possible, or how do we help them identify what the solution is that they're after, rather than simply coming in and doing day-by-day business-as-usual engagements.
Well, tell us how the world of software is changing. I mean, you get the feeling that it's kind of accelerating now. It's becoming more and more heading towards artificial intelligence, and so that it seems to me that demands on firms like yours must be getting quite intense.
Yeah, it is. And I think, well, technology as a rule is accelerating in a way that perhaps we haven't seen before, and AI is part of that. Our organisation has made steps to ensure it partners with organisations who are specialists in their fields. So recently, Accutech have partnered with one of the world's largest augmented and virtual reality firms, Eon Reality. And that has been a fabulous partnership for us to embark upon. Eon are well known throughout the globe in terms of their education spread and their what they call their IDCs, where they set up design studios for students to learn the skill of AVR. And so we've partnered with them. And
what does partner mean?
So we provide their exclusive professional services in Australia. And what that means is we can now deliver a solution to our clients that perhaps they hadn't considered fully previously, or that they can at least explore with us. So I think what we're going to see in that space in particular, an industry that was previously reasonably gamified in AVR and so forth, is now being appropriated into industry and in various like health sectors or construction or property development in a much more, what I like to say, it's a much more pragmatic use of the technology.
What does AVR stand for again?
Augmented and virtual reality.
Augmented and virtual reality. Mm. Right. So what's the difference between augmented reality and virtual reality?
Well, if you augment your reality, you're just adding on to what you're already seeing. But if it's virtual, you're within it and embedded within it. So it's a difference between...
Oh, I see. Yes.
So seeing something standing in front of you versus a completely immersive experience. What you see with a lot of gaming at the moment, it's quite immersive. They have a big headset on and so forth and get buried into the game. And we're seeing where those technologies can now be utilised in professional practice.
In what way? Tell us about how that works.
It's a bit hard not to get excited about it. As soon as you start talking about it, you sort of think of a million ways you can use it.
No, let's get excited. I think it's interesting.
I think, you know, we're talking to allied health professionals who we're talking, you know, to organisations who might practice same physiotherapy. So how do they change their practice model to incorporate this type of technology? It might mean that you've got remote care where you can provide specialist care to patients who aren't geolocated where you are, but they can see what you're doing. They can see you standing in front of them.
This is through virtual reality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or I think an area that we're obviously going to see this take off is in terms of simulation. So in terms of surgical simulation. So people will create simulated models of surgeries that they can perform as a training activity. So, and that will only enhance the training that's available to clinicians throughout the world.
Do you think we're getting to another point that Accutech got to with testing where, you know, you had to do something else because testing was moving offshore? Do you think with all of this AVR that Australia is up to it?
I do. I think Australia's quite open to it. It's like, I think, any country. You have more mature sectors than others, others that will be early adopters, others that aren't afraid of it. A lot of that comes down to leadership, I think. And what we're seeing is where there's an innovative leader who's on the front foot, they're very interested and want to talk about it and get a greater understanding. Others will find it a little bit frightening, to be honest, because they'll also be worried about what does it actually mean for them? Does it mean a changing in roles for them? Is it going to create additional expense for them? So there'll be all those considerations.
Now, but you get the feeling that the Australian technologists are being swamped by American and Chinese firms, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a task for Australian organisations and firms to either partner really effectively in these spaces so they can bring the technology to Australia or bring it to their clients, or if they've got a sophisticated offering here in Australia to build that and support it. And that's for some promotion in that sense of larger organisations perhaps engaging with those smaller technologists who've got a great product out there. But it's... I'm not sure it'll be swamped, but what I'm hoping to see is that we see much more of our organisations start to adopt the technologies that are at our beck and call now and that are going to mature rapidly. So, and AVR is just one of those.
Well, if they don't do it, if Australian companies don't do it, Amazon will.
Well, correct. That's absolutely correct. Or someone as big and similar, right? So we need to, there are organisations out there that are well equipped to move with the pace of technology, and Amazon, Google, Facebook, all of them.
What about Australian? I mean, monsters? You look around, when you look around the Australian business scene, do you see organisations that are equipped to do it?
So we don't see that large sort of organisation that's the monopolised version of one of those here to, you know, I don't see that anyway. But what I do see is a lot of really smart startups and technologists who want to get on the front foot, who want to create something brilliant and need to either be given a go by local large organisations in industry, or we need to be able to start building it in-house. Now, I don't see a lot of that necessarily building it in-house at the moment. We see a lot of people acquiring other companies and so forth, and we've seen that over the last few years, particularly in the digital space. Digital agencies get acquired left, right and centre by bigger firms.
Yeah, that's right.
That might be one of the ways it happens.
Are you finding your clients basically coming to you saying, help?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got, and that's the purpose of our business in many ways is how do we help them? So they just don't know what they don't know, and therefore they're looking for guidance. And you've got to provide them with innovative but pragmatic guidance. So how's it going to show the value to them? I think it's really critical. You can have bright lights and gimmicks all you like, but if it's not going to get a return on investment, then it's going to fail.
Well, just finally, what do you think of the arguments about corporates getting involved in the same-sex marriage debate?
Well, one probably knows I'm fully supportive of that. So the company I work for are fully supportive of corporates putting their hand up and supporting the same-sex marriage debate. Probably helps that I am a member of the LGBTI community myself, obviously. But I'm absolutely hand in my heart for it. And I think it's a great way for companies to throw their weight behind something that perhaps shouldn't be decided by a survey.
Well, it's going to be, apparently. So,
apparently.
Well, no, actually, by the time we go to air, we're doing this interview, everybody, before the survey is concluded. Mm. And when it goes to air, it'll be concluded, so we'll all know what's happened.
We'll all know, yes.
But as we speak now, we don't know what's happening. So, interesting. But it's been a very interesting development in the corporate world as well as society.
It has. And I think it's been pretty amazing to see not just corporates but sporting codes get on board too. I mean, I think at the end of the day, most organisations and most sporting codes are talking about diversity and inclusion in all manner. So the marriage equality conversation is part of that, and they'd be, I guess, remiss to not include that if they're pushing for so hard for diversity and inclusion in many other places and spaces.
It's been great talking to you, Natasha. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking to Natasha Norton, who's the CEO of Accutech.